This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving. Unashamed and unafraid, because I believe you mean it when you say, I am strong, beautiful, I am good enough. I belong after all, because of what you've done. This is real, what I feel, no one made it up. I am loved. Here's your host, Sue Free.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to the Sue Free Show, and I'm so excited, as I always am, because I'm just an excited kind of person. I kind of, you know, enjoy life. And I was listening to my show, which I don't always get the chance to do that, and sometimes I go back and I just listen, and people will say to me, you know, why are you listening? You were the one talking, you know, why do you have to listen to your own show? And I said, because, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit just takes charge, and I have no idea where the Holy Spirit's going to take me sometimes, and the message that I receive is for me also. But what I realize is that I'm saying I a lot. So I just want to apologize up front that I'm using I a lot. But the reason that I'm saying I is because I want you to understand that I don't have, there I go again with I, but I don't have it all together. And what I'm telling you is that it's okay if we don't have it all together. But what we do need to understand is God is with us and that He will protect us and He will see us through anything we're going through. And the stories that I share are for your benefit because I would really love it if a lot of the lessons I've learned, that I didn't have to learn them firsthand, that I could learn them through other people's stories, because other people's stories can really bring light to things, maybe caution you in a decision you might make, choices that we make every minute of every day. And sometimes we just don't know what to expect or what to do. So when we hear other people's stories, Jesus, God in the Bible, He used people, didn't He? He used stories. And these people didn't have it all together. When I look at people in the Bible that He used, like Job, just the people that He used, they didn't have it all together. Yes, Job had a love for the Lord, and boy, he just didn't sway. Some of us, you know, we might get off track, and it might be for a short period of time. And, you know, what do we do in that case? Well, we learn. We learn from the lessons and we move on. We can beat ourselves up as long as we want to, or we can just receive the message, receive the lesson, and say, okay, I was there then. I've learned the lesson and now I'm going to move forward and I'm going to be better now and I'm going to learn. And hopefully we can share our story and be humbled enough to be vulnerable enough and transparent enough to share our story to help others in our midst. Because aren't we here to help one another? Aren't we here to serve one another? I know that's my goal, and that's what my purpose is to help others to feel that the Lord's presence is here with us right now. And so with that, I'm going to tell you that I have a friend with me today. And this young lady, she's just beautiful inside and out. She greeted me every week when I'd come into the studio to do the show with a smile on her face. And she did graphics up on this lighted board that came in. And I'm like, it just touched me so much. And it blessed me so much that she took the time to put that up there to welcome me. It just kind of got me in the right frame of mind. Now, that might seem like a simple thing to you. And sometimes the simplest of things can mean so much, can't they? They're just a blessing. And she took the time to do that. And so we got to talking, and she was telling me a little bit about what was going on in her life, and I had no idea. You know how we meet people, and until we get to talk to them a little bit, we don't really know what they've been through. We don't, you know, we really don't know the person other than how we feel when we're around them. Isn't that true? How we feel when we're around them. And this young lady just made me feel very blessed to just be in her presence. And so without any further ado, I'm going to introduce Aspen Jade. Hi, Aspen.
Hello.
And Aspen, this, I think, is your first time on the mic.
This is my very first time.
And the only reason I know that is because I could tell that you stopped breathing a little bit and that you were a little nervous.
I am a little nervous.
And I said, don't sweat it. Yeah. Because you know what? We're just all here. We're human. We all make mistakes. And, you know, the reason you're here is a good reason. And so we're just going to let, you know, God, Jesus have the wheel. And we're going to just make sure that your story is told because I think it's an important story. And I had no idea. I had no idea your story, which so often isn't that true. We meet people, could be on the bus, could be at a stop sign, could be at the grocery store. And we have no idea what they've been through. You know, you don't know what someone else has been through and you haven't walked in their shoes. So I always say, let's not judge them. Let's love them. That's what I say. Let's not judge. Let's love. Because we have no idea what that person's been through. So I'm going to give you a little intro to Aspen Jade. I love that name. It just sounds famous already. But let me just explain. Aspen Jade is an author, a speaker, and performer who has dedicated her life to ministering the grace of Jesus Christ to others. With small town country roots, love that, Aspen Jade took a leap of faith. I talked about this last week, that it doesn't say step of faith. It says leap of faith to explore the city and pursue her dream in the arts. After graduating film school, Aspen's life took a detour and led her to a fork in the road, I love that, of what she believed she was truly worth in life. Don't love that. From unhealthy, abusive relationships to eating disorders and suicidal tendencies, Aspen went on a journey to find her real identity in the midst of being conditioned to what media betrays young women to be, not only as an artist, but on a daily basis. After working with top authorities in sex trafficking prevention and women's recovery shelters, Aspen was exposed to the heart cry of women's shattered self-esteem and distorted identity. Working with these young women, she realized the arts brought a profound impact on helping with recovery. Creating performing outreaches and soon-to-be online community platform, Aspen desires to help inspire and educate young girls and women to see their unfading beauty and God-given destiny. Isn't that amazing? You know, you're so young and you've been through so much.
Yeah.
And when you started telling me a little bit about your story, when you were the receptionist, mm-hmm. receiving people coming in and whatnot, I'm like, really? Wow. We had similar in some ways, connection there on story, but some of these things I don't really know that much about. So you wrote a book.
I did.
And that's what really got me. You wrote a book and it just got published?
It did. March 27th.
March 27th. So it's really fresh,
yes.
Really fresh. And I've written two books, so I can tell you it's a whole different world. Whole different world, but an exciting one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So what is the title of your book?
The title of my book is called Worth It, and it's Piecing Together a Shattered Identity. So it's basically just an introduction, really, of just asking people what they're placing their worth in, what they're letting the deciding voice be on a daily basis of how valuable they think they are, and just opening that up as a discussion. And so I just put pieces of my testimony in it, and hopefully it inspires and educates and just lets it become a topic where we can see where that's placed and make sure that's healthy and not unhealthy.
And so many people, women and men, you know, young girls, young boys, their identity is based on their parents, their mm-hmm. relationships, good or bad. And some of them are false and they start believing wrong things. And so it's wonderful. I know I've been through this myself. And so I understand that, you know, and to rebuild what God says we are. And I have affirmations on Sue Free, spelled like fries, oneword.com. And it talks about the I ams, you know, what Jesus says, who we are in Christ is the truth. And that's what we need to fall on. But not everybody does, do they?
No.
So Aspen, I want you to just tell the listeners about your story. Can you just get real and talk
yeah.
about your story?
Absolutely.
So go ahead. Let's just let you go.
Oh, okay.
Woo-hoo.
Well, first of all, growing up in a small town, everybody knows everything about you. So that can be a good thing and that can be a bad thing. And for me, it was a very hard life. I got bullied a lot in school and was picked on a lot, and I just didn't know who I was. I was accepting all these words, all these lies as, well, that's who I am. You know, back to the I am that you just said, I was taking all these lies and just saying, well, that's how much I'm worth, and those, I must be ugly, I must not be pretty, I must not have much value to offer the world. And so I took that as an identity because I didn't know what to place in it at the time. And I went to church, but it was very religious. So I didn't understand that there was a God that actually loved me and who actually cared to have a relationship with me. It was more just, we go and we sing some hymns, and I didn't really remember much of what God even thought or who God even was. It was more just a religious act. So there was a separation there, even though that was introduced in my life. And because of the bullying and stuff, it really led into me seeking acceptance. So I wanted to please everybody. So when you're getting bullied, you want to do things that people are, you know, excited about or proud of you, or you try to do things to get attention. And I think as a young girl, we want attention. We want acceptance. You know, we grow up kind of conditioned to be that in the world. And so for me, I would place it in a guy, like most women do, unfortunately. And he was the one that decided my value. And he decided my identity. And giving somebody something that's supposed to be consistent, when you place that into inconsistent hands, which is his, he's going to break it. And for me, that shattered my identity. That shattered who I was. You know, before that, I was already looking at my image that it was tainted and not worth anything. So that was the eating disorder part that you read earlier. Mm-hmm. That really just led me into this dark spiral. And so when I got into this relationship, it was what I thought was like he knew more about me than I knew about myself. So if he could decide, you know, if I was celebrated, I would accept that as just value, you know. But I was on this pending inconsistent scale. So one day I'm worth something and the next day I'm trash. I'm worth nothing. But I lived that life. And unfortunately, it got volatile. It got abusive. It started out with just verbal abuse, but it kept growing down that dark spiral. And I let it. It's like I already accepted that as a identity for myself, and he just validated it. So it was like accepting, well, I'm not good enough. I don't deserve better. And so he just confirmed that by the treatment he gave me.
You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And thank you, San Diegans, for listening in Ventura County. I just thank you so very much for being part of the show. And I would love for you to connect with me. And how do you do that? You go to Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com. And when you go there, you can connect with me. Tell me what you think. Tell me what you're feeling. Ask for prayer. Anything you need, anything you want, I'll figure out a way to help you with it. So just put it there, and I have resources, and we'll just make this happen together, because this show is about you. It's about the Lord. It's about His love and His grace that should just surround you, and you should feel His presence, but not always do we, because maybe you're listening to someone that's inconsistent. Maybe you're listening to a less than satisfactory identification of who you are, that you're unworthy. I lived that lie for quite a while. I felt very unworthy to receive Jesus's love. And you know what? You are worthy because He died for you. So you are worthy. God gave His only Son for you and you alone. You could have been the only person on this earth and He died for you. So you have to understand there's value in that, isn't there? It's life. That's value. So let's continue on, Aspen Jade. You got a little breather there. So I had to give a little reset. So Katie keeps me in line here. Yes, she does. So let's continue on. So you were believing something that wasn't true, mm-hmm. and you were believing it was real because this man was, you know, telling you mm-hmm. that it was good today and it's not good tomorrow. And the word you use, celebrate. I say I want to be celebrated, not tolerated. Mm, and we don't want to be abused. And there are people listening that might be in an abusive situation. So what would you say to them?
Ooh, what would I say to them?
Or you could just tell your story. You could continue on and say what you did. Maybe that would be a good way to do. Either way.
Sure. Mine ended up, you know, after the verbal abuse, it ended up being physical. Mm-hmm. And I tolerated that.
And for how long?
It was a 4-year process. So the physical abuse was about 3 months because he moved in with me. We lived together. We're totally living this unhealthy life. Got engaged, thought, okay, well, we're going to get married, but, you know, we're living together. Everything's going to work out. Even though in this, I knew that it wasn't right. You know, I think everyone has that instinct that something's wrong. And when it started getting abusive physically, and you know, I can get really raw here in saying it was not only, you know, physical abuse where, you know, pushing me around or whatever, but it got sexually abusive. And that's something that I think is hard to talk about for a lot of women who feel that forced or feel like, they're in the situation where it's not something that they want to give freely, you know, and especially whether they're married or not, it's something that we struggle with, I think, in everyday life. And so for me, that was a difficult period, you know, because you attach when you open yourself up sexually to somebody. And so I think that created more of a bond with this guy of not wanting to leave. But the ending point and where I really, I think, decided to get out of this was actually after a party, and we were fighting, as we always did, and he was selling cocaine, which I didn't know. That all started coming out. So the cocaine, you know, drinking alcohol, all of that combined. There was one time in there that I talk about actually in my book about how I almost committed suicide, and I attempted to commit suicide, and I woke up. And that's another story with the drugs and alcohol. But yeah, we were at this party, and he started for the first time. This is the first time he hit me in the face and busted my eye and started pushing me against the windshield of the car because we were fighting in the car. And I got out of the car and ran in Los Angeles, did not know where I was going, barefoot. And he was slower because obviously he was drinking. And yet here we are drinking and, you know, driving, which is not the smartest decision.
Definitely not.
And so, you know, for me, he threw my phone, broke my phone. I'm trying to get a hold of someone to get me out of the situation. Finally, a friend calls me back and she takes me out of it. And that whole waiting period was me hiding from him. So here I can hear him yelling at me, and I'm running down blocks of LA, hiding behind walls and under cars. And I'm just trying to get out of the situation because I was so traumatized by being hit in the face. And so we finally get to her house, and we get away from it. And it's the first time I look in the mirror. And the cover of my book, it has shattered glass on it, and it has "The Worth It" in red. And really that describes that moment where it hit me what I thought I was worth. And I had to look in the mirror and see myself and seen what I've been putting up with and seen how I just viewed who I was. I think there's something really intent when we look in the mirror and we look into our own eyes. What's the damage that we're reflecting in our souls sometimes, and what lies that we believe on a daily basis, and what we speak to ourselves and how we live that out daily. You know, what we claim over ourselves, we live out physically. And I was claiming that I was less, and so I settled for less. And so that was a point where, for me, I was like, enough is enough. My parents had to get told, you know, we had to go to the urgent care. You know, my face is just busted on one side. And it was a traumatic experience of, this is not what I want anymore. So that was the defining moment. And in that time, as I'm waiting for my friend to pick me up, which is the longest 10 minutes of my life waiting on her, because you don't know if he's going to find me. You know, I was thinking, oh my gosh, he's going to find me, and he's going to, this is it. This is the moment. That I prayed to God for the first time. And I said, all I said was, God, help me. That was it. And he got me out of that. And that was the moment where I was like, wow, maybe there is a God that loves me and cares about me, because I seen that I survived that. And so I wanted to know more about God at that point, because he got me out of that situation, and he heard such a simple prayer. It's not like I like did all this crazy long, you know, hymn that I knew from my childhood, but it was just a simple prayer of, God, I need your help. And he got me out. So
that is such a sad and amazing story. And are you still in contact with this friend?
Occasionally, not much though. I think it was one of those divine people for such a specific moment to really, that was just there in my life.
And that happens.
Yeah.
People have assignments where they're there for a time to get you through a tough time or to see you through. And then, you know, you might not see them again, and you pay it forward.
Yeah.
And so you're paying it forward now. And you know, you're talking about very sensitive things on the air. You're talking about things that are vulnerable, you know, and you're just laying it all out there. And I just appreciate it so much that you're willing to do that. And your book does that. And it's important because there's a lot of struggling, hurting women and men, but women and young girls that don't have the proper identification. They don't think highly of themselves. They think they're unworthy. And so I'm hoping that if you're listening and you know somebody that you think might be going through some of this, maybe this show would be the help they need. Maybe this would be the help, you know, encouragement to step out and have a leap of faith. Because, you know, we do need people. And she had this friend, you know, to help us through these tough times. But you need a safe place. And you didn't really have a safe place.
No.
You didn't have a safe place to go. You were living together. That was your home.
That was my home. And,
right.
You know, that was another time, I have to say, that I described this in my book, that there was an audible voice. Well, I don't know if it was audible, but it felt audible. And it said, you know, Aspen, if you don't get out of this, you're going to die. And I didn't know, you know, now I look back and I'm like, whether that's die physically, whether that's die spiritually, now that I've grown more in understanding that.
Right.
But that was a moment where I, you know, that was my home. My parents were 14 hours away. I came out here on a leap of faith, not knowing anybody here, no friends, no family when I first came to Los Angeles. And so, yeah, I think, you know, getting in a safe place, and whether it's in a public place, you know, that's even a start. Go to the grocery store, go, you know, somewhere where there's other people around, go to a mall, to, because the abuse isn't going to happen in those type of areas, because it's more in a hidden secret place that they really want to lay it out, as you probably mm-hmm. know. You know, it's mm-hmm. more behind a closed door setting. So if you get to those places and get to those security and call the police, or even, you know, just find somebody to talk to at church. But there are, you know, those ways to get out of it. And I would not want that experience on anybody. I mean, I'm thankful to get out of it. And I know that God wouldn't want that experience for anybody listening. You know, it's not a life he designed for us to live. It's not a worth that we have. You know, that's a tainted distortion of what he designed for us to live and have freely.
So on my show, I say to people all the time, you know, the tagline for the show is the pursuit of passion, purpose, and connection. And I tell people all the time that you need to follow the purpose that God created you for. And how do you know what that is? And it's based on your passion, the fire in your belly, you know, what just really your desire inside your heart is. And then connection, because connection is where it's at for me. My daughter was on the phone yesterday talking to me, and she said that her and her boyfriend were just feeling disconnected a little bit. And you know, that is such a true statement, that when you part a little bit, you can be disconnected. And the same goes when we don't have a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. There's a disconnect, but you know, the disconnect is on our side, because our Heavenly Father is there just ready all the time and wanting to love on us. But we will pull ourselves away because of our own unworthy feelings or unforgiveness or our anger or whatever it is that's causing us to stay away. So I am so thankful that you found the courage somehow, mm-hmm. and things had to reach such a level. I'm not grateful for that, but they had to reach such a terrible level in order for you to get it and mm-hmm. to get out.
Right.
And my hope is, those listening, that you won't wait till right. it gets to this level.
Absolutely.
Or even worse, that you will find a safe place, find a safe person, to find a place where you can go and get out of a bad situation. But you have to understand who you are in Christ. So it's really important that your identification, that you change that and have an image that is the way the Lord sees you. Have Jesus's eyes, not those people that you're with. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree.
Yeah. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show and more of Aspen Jade right after this brief break. Hi, Sue Freeze, the Termite Lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy, Tyson, stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreespelledlikefries.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
When you or someone you love has been diagnosed with a serious illness like cancer, the first thing you want to do is stop the disease. Unfortunately, after many attempts with conventional medicine, some of you will have no success. Where do you turn next? At Orange Coast Medical Center of Hope, serious diseases like cancer are managed through natural methods. Through integrative cancer care, Dr. Nizami can help patients with terminal disease. Some patients who haven't responded to chemotherapy do respond to Dr. Nizami's treatments with better quality of life. Some will even be able to tolerate chemotherapy and radiation better. Even in the latest stages of the disease, you can still get results with alternative therapies.
Dr. Nizami uses cutting-edge medicine, genetic modifications, and metabolic treatments for cancer. So if you or someone you love is ill and your doctor tells you there's no hope, call Orange Coast Medical Center of Hope today at 949-515-4673, 949-515-4673, or online at allcancercare.com.
Here they come.
Lily!
Ants, roaches, termites, even bed bugs, besieging our house, searching for food and water while escaping the heat.
All right, troops, we go in here.
The tiniest crack in a foundation or window seal gives them unlimited access to the walls of your home, the moisture in your bathrooms, the food in your pantry. So before they set up camp, stop them with Ecola's highly effective, family-friendly, natural methods.
Hi, this is Sue Freeze, the owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. Call us for an inspection so we can determine the best method of eradicating pests in your home and keeping them away. First-time customers get $50 off your initial. Call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. That's 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Or log on to termitelady.com. That's termitelady.com. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control, as gentle as a butterfly.
You're listening to The Sue Freeze Show.
Thank you so much, Ecola Termite and Pest Management Services, for sponsoring this show. I, if you just have any needs in that area of rodents or pests, bed bugs, oh, they're terrible. Termites, anything like that, just give Ecola a call and we'll take care of you. We will take care of you. And Learning to Breathe is a book that I wrote during a time when I was down. I shattered my leg and wrote that book. And, you know, people sometimes they go through trying times and we don't understand what's going on during the time. And then something beautiful happens and something really great comes out of a bad thing. And it's because God's in control. Does he make things happen? No. Does he allow things to happen? Yes, he does. And so, you know, I don't know where you're at in your life, but Jesus does know. God does know. And he's with you all the way. All you have to do is ask him and he'll be there. He will let his presence be known. So before we left to break, we were talking to Aspen Jade, and we were talking to her about her situation of feeling unworthy and feeling broken, and the Lord saying that you're going to die if you keep going down this path. And she listened, and she had to make a change. She had to make a choice, and she saw herself in the mirror probably for the first time in a different light and said, you know, I don't want to be this anymore. When we went on the break, I talked to Aspen a little bit, and she was saying, I said, is there anything else you wanted to add? And she said that when she had her eye hit against the window of the car or whatever. I'm picturing the whole thing. He socked you and smacked you in the face. Oh,
socked
so
me.
Terrible because you're
yeah.
so beautiful. Oh. And you're beautiful. You're so beautiful. Anyway, so the eye. I want you to explain the eye because there was something interesting in what you said there.
Okay. Yeah. So, and this actually happened years after that experience. I don't really know the cause, if it is connected to that, though. I don't
okay.
really know. But my eyes started getting inflamed really bad, and they misdiagnosed it. And they gave me steroid drugs.
Oh.
And it ended up making me completely not be able to see out of my right eye. So both eyes started getting infected. The nerve endings that go to your mouth started getting affected to where it was hard to eat. It hurt to eat. I had headaches. It was like an electric shock if I went into any light. So my family had to come down here and take care of me. They had to feed me. They had to show me how to, you know, walk around because I couldn't see. So, and in that time, I had to make sure there was pitch black darkness everywhere. So, like, there couldn't be an ounce of light in the room. So there was just black over windows. There was black, you know, a sweater and a blanket and everything over me. And, in that time, God spoke to me in the very beginning, showing me this vision. And it had my eye and it had these black thorns in it. And I saw the black thorns being removed and water rushing in. And that was the first day that I went to the doctor. So I was like, I know I'm going to be healed. Like, I know that's what that means. Like, it's the infection's going to go. But I had no idea it was going to be a 3-month process. I didn't know I was going to be unable to see that whole entire time. And I think in that, especially being women, we focus a lot on our physical appearance. You know, it's just naturally something that I think is, whether it's pushed on us or conditioned in society, we are drawn to our appearance. You know, we want to dress cute, we want to look cute. But this was a time where I couldn't see any of that. You know, I couldn't see if I had stuff in my teeth or acne on my face or what my hair looked like. Like there was, I didn't know what my appearance was anymore. Mm-hmm. And through that, it was, where did I base that value again? Where did I base that worth? And that was a trying experience because you have nothing to look at but your internal self. You know, I couldn't turn on the TV. I couldn't read a book. I couldn't look at a phone. I couldn't. I mean, there's so many things you think about that you take for granted sometimes in your eyesight if it was taken away. What I'm eating. Like, you know, I didn't even know what my mom was making me until I tasted it. And in that, I call it the internal selfie, since we're so, you know, in the selfie culture in the young 20s here and younger, the girls are all about the selfies. And I think sometimes we need to stop the physical selfie and look at the internal selfie. And for me, I saw everything that I believed over those years. It was almost like a movie playing inside of everything that I have accepted for myself and everything that I believed was true. And God really had to come into those dark places that I put caution tape around and say, you know what, we need to go there. We need to deal with this. This is hindering you from receiving my love. This is hindering you from receiving other people's love. And this is hindering you from living a life that I designed you to love. So that was a very interesting journey. And I think it was testing for my family to have that faith as well. And really understanding, and God used that to help them understand God's love and open up to them that it was more about a relationship versus a religion.
That was so well put. And I'm just thinking about this because I had eye surgery and I can relate because it's painful. Number one, couldn't use the phone because you couldn't see what you were writing. Just all of the things that go along with your eyesight that we just take for granted. And then to have that for 3 months, those that have it forever, you know, that's a lifestyle. And, you know, but you don't know in your case or my case, I didn't know how long I was going to be like that. Mm-hmm. And just to hear this story about your family and how they had to come around you and they had to feed you and they had to take care of you and everything. What an amazing story. And so much happened during that time. And just the visual that I got with the thorns in the water, that's so amazing. That's just so amazing. What an amazing story. You also talked about human trafficking. Mm-hmm. You talked about that and that you went to a facility, a ministry, mm-hmm. where they did this and you were right there.
Right. And you know, it's funny how God will use your brokenness for somebody else's beauty. You know, mm-hmm. He will really, like it says in Isaiah 61, He'll really take those ashes and make them beautiful. And, you know, for me, He started pulling me so close to Him where it was like, you need to help others with your story. You know, that we all have a story. And we all have ways of ministering and ways of and gifts and talents and things that we've been through and the darkness that we've been through and how we've come out in the light. And for me, that was this experience, you know, this understanding my perception, you know, how it was distorted, this mindset that was conditioned to be devalued. And, you know, I started volunteering in women's recovery shelters with people who'd been in domestic abuse. And I was kind of volunteering a couple hours a day, and then they placed me into a sex trafficking prevention ministry. And that was when my life changed because my eyes were opened to how bad your shattered self-esteem can really go and the darkness that some people live in, whether it's they are being trafficked against their will or if they are prostituting themselves because they think that that's the value that they should live. And that's all they are, is just a product to a man's pleasure, and that's mm-hmm. it. So for me, I was very young. I was 21 when I got hired as a staff member, and was not a, you know, I'm a residential advisor, so I'm with these girls 8 hours a day, and being able to be over them and be an authority figure was something that was scary. And I was like, God, I don't have anything. I don't know what to tell these girls. But God said, tell your story, even though you know. You might not relate on some level, you can relate in a level of brokenness. And that's what everybody faces, is brokenness. You know, everybody wants hope. Everybody wants a place that they can come to really experience a better life. Because we naturally have that intuition to want a better life always and have that joy. And so He took me on that journey of working with these girls. And I seen, you know, that led to me pulling my arts back out, performing art stuff to really minister with them. And we would play music and I would teach them piano chords or something fun. But you know, the bottom line was just seeing the distorted identities that we go so far into. And for me, that was an eye-opening experience of wanting to be on a mission to stop that. I definitely speak about it. Some things I can't speak about because of confidential reasons, but definitely on a mission to really put a stop to that and be a voice for that, because I think it really has to do with a distorted perception of value and worth. I think the whole thing is based on that for men too. It's not just women.
Right.
It's both sides.
Both sides.
Yeah.
So you also struggled with an eating disorder, and some people understand what that's all about mm-hmm. and other people don't. Yeah. Why don't you explain a little bit about that?
Well, and I know we're both dancers.
Yes.
So my mom put me in dance when I was two, and I wanted to be a professional dancer. And that was part of my dream of coming to LA. And in that, you get pressured, by various people and agents or, something you're auditioning for or whatever. And for me, I was always told that I was too big or I was too fat. And I needed to fix that if I ever wanted to make it. If I ever wanted to be considered pretty, if I ever wanted to be considered successful, I needed to be the thinnest I could possibly get. And for me, it really started in high school. It started about 14, 15, that I was really, addicted to throwing up and addicted to just being bulimic. And I couldn't get out of that cycle for a while until I met somebody else. This is back to that story thing, who survived bulimia and who spoke into my life and said, that's not healthy. That's not what God sees. You're not seeing yourself how God sees. You're letting your value and perception of yourself be based on somebody else's standard. It's not based on God's standards, it's not based on God's opinion. It's based on not even opinion. God doesn't even give opinions. He loves us perfectly always, but on somebody else's opinion, And so I survived that. And, unfortunately, in my relationship too with abuse, I got into cutting as well. And I know that that's also an issue that many girls face that can be dark, because you just want you want a physical fix for your emotional pain. And I think that's what is that fix that you keep running to? And make sure it's a healthy one, because we should be going to God at all times and making sure we renew that identity. But we can pretty much see what people have placed that in as far as a fix.
You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that Aspen is just willing to open up like this and talk about all these things. They're not pleasant stories. They're not easy to talk about. But her heart, I know, is to reveal these things so that you or somebody you know can be freed from this bondage, to be freed from these lies from the devil, that Jesus is here to bring hope, and if you have faith and you believe in him, he will bring the proper people in. And if you are a struggling mother who has a child, a daughter or a son who's facing these things and you're not sure what to do, first of all, ask the Lord, and also surround yourself with people and ask the Lord to put people in your daughter or your son's lives. He says, ask and you shall receive. So we need to believe. Believe is where it's at. Having faith and believing that the Lord is there for us. And listening to Aspen's story, I'm hoping that it brings hope. I really am, because there is hope mm-hmm. in him. When did you realize you were worth it to God? Mm. When did that happen? Because that is a life-changing time. It's just that experience is what I remember when it happened for me, mm-hmm. and it didn't happen all by my lonesome. It took people and a safe place mm-hmm. for me to realize that I'm forgiven.
Right.
Right?
Right. I think for me, it was probably when I was working with these girls that I really, because here you're trying to have them understand a lie that you've lived and understand that there can be freedom. And I think when you're placed in those type of situations around other people, and you do that whole, giving back or blessing others, that God starts healing you too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, I speaking it over them and speaking it over myself, it becomes a reality, and I seen how I spoke lies over myself and I spoke darkness over myself. And I went down that path. So it's interesting to see that the other does exist, that there is hope in that path. And for me, that was probably working with these girls. And a specific incident was back to mirrors. And it reminded me of my perception in that moment where I was like, this is not what I want. That one of the girls could not even look at herself in the mirror and threw mm-hmm. the mirror and let it shatter over the entire floor. And we picked up the pieces, and it was a flashback moment for me. And I got to sit there and talk to her of almost seeing myself, seeing this broken little girl who just has no idea that somebody loves her, that God loves her, that Jesus came for her and just wants to have this beautiful relationship with her at all times. And that she's not tainted or unworthy in his eyes, that she that he has grace and that she is beautiful. It's not, you know, a lot of times women will be like, oh, I'm growing older, or I'm getting wrinkles. And we start going through that crazy, I guess, journey of when we're worthy and when we're not. But that's unfading in God's eyes. And for me, that was probably one of the main moments I remember where I'm like, we're worth it. We're worth it to God. You know, Jesus didn't go to the cross because he was obligated. He went because he believed in in our worth. He believed we were worth it. He believed that we had value. And so it's like when you grasp that and you just take a moment to really think, Jesus believes I'm worth it. And I'm that person on that cross that he died for. You know, when you really, and all the pain and all the darkness and all the sins I've committed, you know, a lot of people, especially that I dealt with in the prostitution, said, well, you know, I've been with a lot of men, or I've, you know, done this or that, and I can't be redeemed. You know, and it's like the devil wants us to have an X on our back the mm-hmm. entire, the rest of the time. And it's like, mm-hmm. that doesn't, you know, and live with that X and validate that X and confirm that X on our back. And God wants to come and take that X off and turn it into a cross and say, here's the answer, and here's the life I always meant for you to have. So, yeah, that was the moment where I realized, you know, we are worth it, and every person is worth it to God. Every person is beating, their heart's beating with a purpose. We all, you know, it's cool that our music actually exists in our body, you know, at all times, that we're actually mm-hmm. walking instruments.
Yes.
And so, you know, we're all this beautiful hymn to God, you know, and we need to understand that we're already made masterpieces, and we don't need to taint the picture. We need to stop tainting the picture of ourselves.
So the unforgiveness we have for ourselves, that we feel unworthy and we're not forgiving ourselves, the Lord is saying, no, you are worthy. I've already paid the price. And so when we start realizing that love and that sacrifice, that's when the change can happen. When you forgive yourself and realize that you are worthy. You are worthy to receive all that God has for you. And no matter what you've done, you don't have to clean up your act to receive him. You just, right now, you could ask him into your heart, and he will be there for you. I suggest that if you do that, that you let somebody know, a safe person, so they can walk alongside and help you. And if it's me, contact me. I'll say the prayer with you. I'll walk through the prayer with you. We'll go through the process, and I'll be there as accountability and to connect with you so that we can just go through this process together. There would be nothing that would mean more to me than that. It'd be a blessing for both of us, I think. So, Aspen, thank you so much for sharing your story. I want people to know where they can receive your book, where they can buy your book, get your book, because it's not been out very long. And so I want people to know about it because I think that it's going to help a lot of people. So where would they go to get your book?
Well, they can go to Amazon.com mm-hmm. And they can just type in Worth It by Aspen Jade, or they can go to AspenJade.com and there's a link on there. So very simple.
Aspen Jade. I love that name. And if you can't remember that, go to Sue Free, spelled like fries, oneword.com, and I will have this podcast on my website, and I will have her website where you can get her book, so that we will make sure that you get connected. And if you're driving and you can't write something down, it's okay. Just remember Sue Free, spelled like fries, oneword.com, and we will connect you. So, Aspen, I ask people this all the time when they come on my show, because I'm very goal-oriented and I'm purpose-oriented, and I want to make sure that the goal that we set and what we want to accomplish by being on this air and taking these minutes together, because, you know, life is just full of minutes and we only have so many. So we want to make sure every minute counts, right?
Right.
So what is the main message of your Worth It movement? What would you want to tell those listening?
The main message that I'd want to tell people is to know that their value is irreplaceable. To know that their worth isn't based on a standard. It's not based on an inconsistent cycle. It's not a roller coaster based on others' opinions. It's not one day you're worth something and the next day you're not. It's always anchored. Your beauty doesn't fade. You are always beautiful. You always have something to offer the world. You are a light in the world. And God sees you as beautiful always. And we need to start accepting and loving ourselves. And I think that's one of the big things, too, is just to know that you're loved. I think a lot of people strive just to be loved and accepted, and we need to realize that we already are. So definitely, you know, the message is just really for people to understand that there is a God that cares and that there is a God that sees them as, I mean, it's just amazing to think what all God thinks about us, on just all the joyful thoughts of what God thinks about us. that it's not a distorted mindset. And really just sitting down and asking yourself, what is that deciding voice of my value? Where is that place? Is something really part of the movement too, is just self-reflection. I don't think we do enough on that of that to the level we need to. And to just accept ourselves for our mistakes. You know, we beat ourselves up all the time. And God's like, I already gave you grace for that. I already knew you were going to do that. I'm already like giving you a way out. And we need to just hold on to that promise and hold on to the fact that we're free and we don't have to carry on bondage and let that be the definition of who we are. But in Him, we're perfected. In Him, we're beautiful. In Him, we have everything that we need. We don't need to strive to prove it to anybody. We don't need to fight for somebody to see it, that it's already there and the worth is already in each of us.
There's a scripture listed here, Ephesians 1, 4, 5. Do you know that by heart or no?
You know, I don't know it by heart, but I do have it right here.
Okay. So do you want to read it?
Sure.
Because I always like to refer to scripture.
Absolutely.
Because I think that His word is so special all the time, and mm-hmm. it never changes. And so His promises are there forever. And, you know, for those listening, if you don't read His word, what would you say to them? Those that don't listen, don't read the word. What would you say to those listeners that aren't in the word?
Ooh. I would say that there is a – that's hard. You know, if you're not in the Word and you don't know the truth about something and you don't know – if you listen to the wrong words all day and then you expect to have a right mindset, that's not going to happen.
That's very good.
You need to read the right words and get those right words sewn into your spirit and sewn into your heart so that you know what to believe.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't – that's like back to your own strength.
Right.
You know, you accept all these lies and then expect to live a truthful setting. It's not going to work. So I would say just dive into the word. Dive into what God believes about you, what He says about you, what He thinks about you, so that you can hold those promises close when the attacks do come, when those lies do come at you.
Because they do come.
Because they do. Whether mm-hmm. it's, you know, people in our lives or sometimes ourself is the own worst enemy, you
yep.
know?
And, a lot of the times.
A lot of the
we're
time.
Not even
majority
realizing,
of the time.
Not
yeah.
even realizing that we're saying bad things.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So what does Ephesians 1, 4, and 5 say?
So I love the Amplified version. It's one
okay.
of my favorite versions. So it says, just as in His love, He chose us in Christ, actually selected us for Himself as His own before the foundation of the world so that we would be holy, that is consecrated, set apart for Him, purpose-driven, and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to Himself as His own children through Jesus Christ in accordance with the kind intention and good pleasure of His will.
That's wonderful words, isn't it? And that's just, there's so many wonderful scriptures to hold on to strengthen you, to empower you, to encourage, inspire. You just need to be in the Word. The Word says that you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And renewing of your mind doesn't mean listening to the old messages that have been played over and over and over again, because they're not celebrating who you are. So if you need some help in that, go to SueFree, spelled like fries, oneword.com, and go to the website, the second button, affirmations, go there, and you can learn all about it on those videos. Aspen, thank you so much for being on this show. Thank you for being transparent and letting us get a piece of you. You know, it's just been a wonderful time. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's been awesome.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Be a blessing to those you come in contact with every day. Until next week. Love you. Bye.
This has been the Sue Free Show, sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects.
Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.